Good morning, Vineyard Community Church. Thank you for joining us today digitally. It's great having you all here. Let's stand, sit, recline, and worship this morning.
Touching every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around.
Stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working, never stop working, even when I don't see it, you're working, even when I don't feel it, you're working,
never stop working, never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working, never stop, never stop. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
That is who.
That is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you could join us here this morning. And I'm really excited about some news to tell you about our Easter offering. So we got some more that came in last week. And our new total now is $35,956. So $36,000 you gave to make a difference in Haiti, Brazil, and Vietnam. Basically, it breaks down like this. Church, you gave enough to feed 73 children in Haiti for 1 year. You gave enough to provide 61 water filters in the Amazon region of Brazil. And you gave enough to provide 216 wheelchairs in Vietnam. So thank you so very much for that. We are so blessed that this church family gives in a sacrificial way, because we understand that right now is a time where you're digging deep. And so we thank you for that. And I cannot wait to hear of the reports of the blessing that you have been for those who will be on the receiving end of this. So thank you so much. Throughout the year, as we see how these missions play out, we will be giving you reports, and you'll get to hear about what a blessing we have been as a church family to those around the world. So thank you very much for that. Also, I just want to welcome our guests with us today. If you're here and you've never been to Vineyard Community Church, I cannot wait someday to meet you in person. Unfortunately, this is our church for right now. This is how we're doing it. But if you would like some more information about Vineyard Community Church, message us on Facebook. Give us a comment in the comment sections. Hey, I'd like some more information. And we will contact you. We'll get your address. We'll mail you all kinds of information about the church. We'd love to hear from you. So let us know if you're new, if this is your first time watching, or you've been watching for a few weeks, and if you'd like some information from the church, we will be happy to mail that to you. And then also, I just want to remind you that at the end of the service, we will... We'll do our offering. Obviously, you cannot just give right now like you normally would, but at the end of the service, on the video, we will have the various methods that you can give to the church. We're still functioning here. We're still doing the best that we can to keep things going. We've got a small crew that does our Sunday morning service here, and I am so thankful for the hard work and everything that they've been doing to provide a service for our church. So, again, at the end of this service, we'll have the various means up on the screen for you. And then also, I just want to let you know, church, that we met the pastors, myself, Pastor Mark, Pastor Dave, and Roxana. We met last week about the future of what the next coming weeks look like. And we want to abide by Governor DeWine. So we're kind of following the lead of what the state is doing. And so right now, this is going to be church for us. I think this is going to be church for us for the month of May. We really, really, really are struggling with having an outdoor service. That's what we would love to do. But I would hate for, you know, somebody to come and get sick or just, you know, how is that going to play out? So just know, be in prayer with us. We're tossing around some ideas of what we might do. I mean, maybe we'll do a once a month outdoor celebration Sunday morning. We're just not sure. So please, just be in prayer. We're keeping our eye on how things are going, and we will let you know as soon as we know what we're going to do as far as like maybe one outdoor service a month or all outdoor services, however that's going to play out. So just keep us in prayer, and together we'll walk this out. Amen? Okay, so last week we did a series. It was our Creation Sunday series, but we talked about how the supernatural presence of God breaks into our natural world. And I thought that was just going to be it, but I think we're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks, because there are so many stories in the Bible where God's supernatural presence breaks into the natural world to make a change in people's lives. And we're going to look at a specific story this morning. And I think next week we might look at a specific person in the Bible to just give you to just go a little bit deeper on this topic. But along with today's message on this, we are going to talk about the importance of having friends who agree with you on the same issues of spiritual matters. It's so important for us to have our close friends agree with our spiritual matters, our where our faith lies, to have the same faith in Jesus, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have friends that don't believe in Jesus. By all means, your friends are your friends. But your friends who believe in Jesus understand the importance of faith in Jesus and how his supernatural presence can change our lives. So that's one part that we're going to look at today. And then the second part is having a church family who can support you in your time of need. I think that is crucial as believers. We can't be a believer in Jesus and be isolated from other believers. God puts us in a family. He puts us in a church family for a reason, because he knows that this is going to be a good place where things will fit for you. And that's why some of us are like, this is a good church for me. This is a good church for me, because we're with other people who we can gel with. Amen? So here's the thing. We all know that we're all going, at least if we don't know, we're fooling ourselves, but we're all going to go through trials in life. Things that are going to cause us heartache. Things that are going to cause us stress. Things that are going to test our character. And quite possibly test our faith in Jesus. That's a fact of life. Putting your faith in Jesus isn't like eating the magic bean and everything goes away. We're gonna have struggles. We're gonna have trials. And we're going to look at a story today in the book of Acts. If you want to get ready, it's in Acts chapter 12. But the book of Acts is all about the birth of the Christian church. Jesus had ascended into heaven. The disciples, at chapter 1, the disciples are baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. They now have this newfound boldness to preach the gospel, to preach the good news of Jesus. And an explosion of believers in Jesus happened at this time. And this is the birth of the church. Now, the thing is, none of this was without its challenges. And so how do we deal with challenges in our lives? How do we deal with our faith when things rock our world? How do we deal with challenges right now with this virus? We want to get back to our lives, but There's a green light, and then there's a red light. We want to go, but we got to wait. I mean, what are we supposed to do? How do we involve God in our lives when there's hurt, anxiety, fear, unknowns, How do we do it? Or better yet, how do we maintain our faith in Jesus when we don't know what the end of the outcome is going to be? So we're going to look at a crazy story. It involves a guy named Peter. Peter was a disciple of Jesus's. He was with Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Peter witnessed everything that Jesus had done. Everything he saw with his own eyes, the things that Jesus did. He witnessed the crucifixion. He witnessed the resurrection. He spent time with Jesus after he had risen from the dead. So Peter knew all of this stuff. But again, that wasn't without its own set of difficulties. And so before we get into this story, I want you to ask yourselves, or I want you to think about, what areas in your life make you feel trapped, make you feel anxious, make you feel uncertain? What are the things that give you sleepless nights? And then as believers in Jesus, while we're reading this story, I want you to just kind of picture yourself, you know, what is it that just bothers you the most or gets you the most? And then as believers in Jesus, we have to understand that he is always there, ready to provide a way out for us. Jesus always has an escape plan. And that's what we're going to see. So we're going to read this story here in Acts chapter 12. It's kind of long, so I'm going to read a little fast, but this is a fascinating story. So to set it up, there's another disciple by the name of James, and King Herod, he is a Roman ruler, and he has set out, the Jewish religious leaders are working with Rome to squash this Christian church that is starting up because of the message of Jesus. So King Herod arrests James, and he has James killed. Then he arrests Peter, and Peter is about to go on trial, and it's probably not going to be a good outcome for him. So here's where we're at, starting in verse 5. While Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. That's a key sentence that I want you to keep in mind. The night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Suddenly, there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side to awaken him and said, "Quick, get up." And the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel told him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And he did. "Now put on your coat and follow me." So Peter left the cell, following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. They passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city. And this opened for them all on its own. I like to think of this as like some Jedi mind trick that the angel did, right? He's just leading Peter out of jail. So they started walking down the street, and then the angel suddenly left him. Peter finally came to his senses. "It's really true," he said. "The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me." When he realized this, he went to the home of Mary, where many were gathered for prayer. He knocked at the door at the gate, and a servant girl named Rhoda came and opened it. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the door, she ran and told everyone, "Peter is standing at the door." So here's what they said. "You're out of your mind," they said. So when she had insisted, they decided it must be an angel. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking. But this is crazy. I love this. So he's just knocking. Think of the joy that's in Peter right now. He's just knocking at the door. So Peter continued knocking. Finally, they opened the door. They saw him. They were amazed. And then it says that he motioned for them to remain quiet. So this is in the middle of the night. I don't know how many people are in this home. So many that they must have been cheering for joy, yelling, so happy that Peter was there that he's like, "Shh, keep it down," you know? But check this out. What is the first thing that we read about in verse 5? Peter had friends who were praying for him. The entire church that Peter belonged to was together, and it said not only were they praying, but they were praying very earnestly. So these just weren't, you know, God help our friend Peter prayers. They were pleading for him. They were standing in the gap for him. They were praying for God to move on Peter's behalf and on their behalf for Peter. Peter had a church family that stood in the gap for him while he was in prison, praying for his outcome. And all throughout the Bible, there are stories about the power of prayer and how God listens and he changes or redirects the outcome of an event. That is how powerful prayer can be. How many times when we see a plea for prayer or when somebody asks, hey, could you just pray for me for this situation? How many times do we actually stop, take a minute, and pray for that person? Or do we just say, oh, I'll pray for you, and then it's just a fleeting thought? You see, Peter had people earnestly praying for him. And I think we, as a church, as believers in Jesus, we need to be in earnest prayer for others. We need to be in earnest prayer right now during this virus, for the world, for the nation, for our state, for our city, for our church, for God to move on our behalf. Prayer has the ability to change the outcome of events. That is what we just read about here. And more importantly, it keeps us close to God and his supernatural presence. Think about it. The kingdom of God is one sentence away from crashing into our lives through prayer. God is just waiting to move on our behalf. Sometimes he's waiting for the prayers. Sometimes he's waiting for people to just get him to move. And then sometimes he'll just do it all on his own. But the kingdom of God is one sentence away from making a difference through prayer. It could be the sentence that comes out of your mouth that makes a difference. And then one more thing about prayer. You know, prayer isn't just us talking to God. It's also about us listening to God. Listening for his voice. Listening for an answer. You know, how often do we pray for God, to God, and it's just a list of things that we need God to do on our behalf, and then we just go about our day, when it is more, so much more than that? It is listening for the answer that God has for us. And then, what is Peter doing right now? What is Peter doing the night before he's set to go on trial in prison, shackled with two guards laying on both sides of him? Sleeping. He's fast asleep. I wonder if it was the prayers of the saints, the prayers of Peter's friends, that brought about such a peaceful sleep, that such a peaceful a state of mind that he was able to get a good night's sleep before his trial. You know, he's not anxious. He's not up worrying. He's not tossing and turning. He's sleeping. And so I ask of you, how many times do we spend with sleepless nights because we are trying to control the situation instead of talking to God about it and allowing him to move on our behalf? You know, how many of us could say the same thing? I had a peaceful night's sleep. I have so much stuff going on, but I was able to get a good night's sleep. You know, far too often, we want to control the situation when we don't know the outcome. And when we try to control a chaotic situation, something that has spiraled out of control in our lives, or maybe we made a decision and we're dealing with the consequences, and we're trying to control it, right? What does that bring? It brings anxiety, it brings fear, it brings worry, uncertainty. I recently heard a sentence just the other day, and it was this: calm breeds calm, chaos breeds chaos. And since God is a God of peace, I changed it to this: Peace breeds peace. Worry breeds worry. So when we honestly seek God, when we honestly seek Jesus and stay close to him, we get a better understanding of how he works. And prayer gets us to draw closer to him, especially when we're listening for his voice. And how do we do that? How do we honestly seek God? How do we get to a point to that we know that God is in control of all things and that nothing surprises him? That's a phrase that we have at our house. When something happens, you know, my car broke down the other day on the way home here from church in the worst spot, Jolly Pirate Donuts. But at least I got my donuts. My car broke down. Kim and I had to walk home with donuts and our computer, our laptop and our other stuff, right? But it didn't surprise God. He knew the car was going to break down, and it broke down in a spot where we could park it, leave it, walk home, call a tow truck, and get it over to a mechanic. Stuff, none of this surprises God. So I just encourage you to keep that as a sentence that's always in the back of your head. God knew you were going to make a bad mistake. God knew this stuff was going to come crashing into our lives and things were going to spiral out of control. So let's talk to him about it and listen for an answer. And listen, when we do this, we get a better understanding of who God is and how he operates. There's a verse in Psalm 46 that says, "Be still and know that I am God." Listen, nothing surprises God. In other words, relax. God is saying, relax. I am God. I am the God of all that you see and feel, taste, and touch, the God of the universe who created all things. And he wants nothing but the best for us. He wants nothing but the best for those who believe in his son, Jesus. So listen for his voice. Be still, relax, and follow his lead. You know, even though Peter was in a daze and he thought it was a vision, he wasn't frantically asking the angel questions. He's following the angel's lead, which tells me he's following God's lead. He's trusting God for the outcome. And not only that, I think that's the funniest thing that the angel struck him on the side and said, "Quick, get up." Oftentimes, or not oftentimes, how many times do you want to wake up somebody in the middle of the night and you smack them? You do that out of a prank. But normally, what do? You gently wake somebody up. I think Peter was in such a peaceful slumber that the angel was like, "Get up, we gotta go." The chains fell off him. He just followed the angel's lead. He followed God's lead. When we're not sure what God is up to, how many of us ask questions? Peter didn't ask any questions. He just followed God's lead. Now, I'm not saying we can't ask questions, but what I'm suggesting is, where is our faith in the question-asking process? Where is our heart in the question-asking process? You know, many people in the Bible ask God questions, but when they asked out of a doubtful heart, or, "I don't see how you can make this happen, God," it didn't really end well for them. But people who God wanted to use, and they asked questions like, "Okay, God, I know you can do this, and I understand you're going to use me in this. How's it going to play out?" Right? That's the kind of, "I believe you can do this, God, but I'm just curious how this is going to work out." Those kinds of questions, I think, are what build the trust between us and God. You see, the thing about God is, he doesn't always give us the end results. He wants us to trust that he's got it all figured out. And as we stay close to him and ask questions, like when I'm in the midst of something and I need an answer from God and I'm not seeing it, I trust he's got my best interests in mind. So a lot of times I will say, "Okay, God, am I not seeing something? Do I need to just shift my focus a little bit? Am I not seeing where you're at in the midst of this situation? Or am I not supposed to see you just yet, but do I need to just shift my focus? And so that's kind of how I do it. And I think what that does is it just draws us closer to God. It builds that trust in Him. And believe me, you, sooner or later, you're going to hear from Him. And most importantly, it helps us not only develop that trust with God, but it gives us a better idea of what His voice sounds like. I mean, what does His voice sound like? You know, it can sound like a number of things. But most importantly, I think God's voice, the voice of God's Holy Spirit, just sounds like an impression on your heart. Like it just sounds like the inner voice of your conscience. But yet, you ask yourself, was that you, God? Or you ask God, is that you? And then you follow that lead. It could be, you know, an impression on your heart. It could be a thought from out of nowhere. You're in the middle of your day-to-day routine, and you get this thought that it's an answer to what you're going through. That's God's Holy Spirit. That's God's voice. It could be a friend saying, you know, knowing that you're going through something, and they've been praying for you, and they say, hey, you know what? I think I heard from God about this, and I think this could be an answer to your situation. It could be a circumstance. You could be driving down the road you know, playing with your children or at work, and all of a sudden just, oh, there's my answer. So God speaks to us in a number of ways. And I think it's His way of being creative and just keeping that creative relationship going with us and that trust. But first and foremost, if we want to hear from God, we are going to hear from Him through His Word. That's why it's so important that we read His Word on a regular basis so that we hear from Him through this. Isaiah said it in speaking about God's voice in chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30. He said this, "Your own ears will hear Him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the left or to the right.'" So to me, that's just like, that's your inner kind of that inner peaceful voice that you hear. Many times that's God saying, move to the left, move to the right. You know, you'll hear from Him. So that's kind of it right there. And then the end of the story is the angel breaks Peter out of jail. Peter goes back to his church family. He goes back to his life group. He goes back to his friends that have been praying for him. And this young lady, Rhoda, forever, she is written down in the scriptures as the one who didn't believe it was Peter. And I picture Peter with this huge smile on his face as he's hearing the conversation take place in the house, and he's just knocking. Just open the door, guys. You know, and they open him up, and they're just like, yeah, it's Peter. And then he's like, shh, quiet. And tells them the adventure that happened. So, in closing, I just want to wrap it up with this. I want to encourage you, when you find yourselves in a tough situation, when you find yourselves in a jam, when you find yourselves going stir crazy because of this virus and we can't, you know, I saw a friend the other day, Miguel Montanez, one of our teenagers here at the church, great young man, and he works at the grocery store, and I saw him and we're out in the parking lot, and we're just talking, asking him how he's doing, and he's doing good and everything, but then I gave him like this social distancing hug, you know. But there's just something about a human touch that we need, and I think that's a God-designed thing. And listen, I just want to encourage you, if you're going stir crazy, if you need some help in this time, if your finances aren't what they should be because you've been furloughed or laid off or lost your job or whatever, church, reach out to us. We are here to help. This is what your church family is here for the help that you need. I think far too often we look at the next person and we're like, well, they're doing good, so I need to be doing good. So we don't share that need with people. We are here to help. We have people waiting to help, to deliver groceries, to do whatever is needed. So please, I just want to put that out there. You know, and also I want you to know, We, as believers in Jesus, don't come to church. You're not listening to me right now, watching me right now, because your life is perfect, because you're perfect, right? We are here because at one point in time in our lives, we said, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I can't do this on my own. And we reached out to him and he helped us. We are here because we need something bigger than ourselves to get us through life. And that's Jesus. And he sets us in a church family and we help each other through life. So here's the deal. We are all going to go through difficult times. We can't escape them. But we can learn how to deal with them while God prepares the escape. That's what his word and his supernatural presence are for. Amen? Let's pray. God, I just thank you. I thank you for the fact that you created us. You created us to have a relationship with you. And there are times when your supernatural presence will break into our natural world. And I'm so thankful for this story with Peter, because the outcome of Peter's event wasn't going to be a good one. And we have an outcome right now of an event that we're dealing with, all of us, this virus. We know it's going to be a good ending, but in the midst of it, it's chaos. We're going nuts, right? Well, God wants to break in to our world, I believe, and bring us peace, bring us stability, bring other people alongside of us that can help us through life. And so that's why I share this story with you, because I just pray right now for those of you that are just not feeling it and life is beating you up. I ask right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would break into the world of those who need it, break into their lives, bring somebody into their lives, bring a text, bring a phone call, bring a visitor, God, where a life can be changed by your supernatural presence. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so listen, before we do our offering and then we move into a time of worship, I do have some ministry that I want to do. I believe that God wants to change some lives right now. I believe that God, his supernatural presence, wants to break into your life right now. And so I have a couple of words of knowledge that I want to share with you. If you're not familiar with those, words of knowledge are it's something that God gives somebody that he wants to use to speak to somebody else specifically. And so there's two things that I have. And one is pain in the right elbow. I believe that there's somebody watching here right now that has pain in the right elbow, and God wants to heal that. Even more specifically, it's pain in the right elbow due to a tennis injury. And God wants to heal that right now. So God, I thank you for that. And I ask right now that you would bring healing, that right now, Lord Jesus, right now, Lord God, I just sense that there could be a warmth in your elbow and in your whole arm. And that is the Holy Spirit of God bringing healing to you right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, God. And if that's you, can you let us know in the comment section or message us? If you just want to keep it private, that's fine too. I just want to know that God is changing a life. Amen? And then the other one is left knee. So yeah, sure, I can say right elbow, I can say left knee. But this was a tennis injury. This here is the result of running. And the pain in your left knee is keeping you from running because that's what you like to do. And so that is specific. I'm not making this up. So if that's you, just, you know what? I encourage you. I just sense like the Lord wants you to lay your hands on your knee, both hands, just like this. And I'm going to pray, God, that your healing presence would flow through that leg, that left knee, God. Lord, that as that person feels their hands getting warm, that they understand that is your Holy Spirit bringing healing and comfort in that left knee. And I believe from this point on that you're going to be able to run. And as you're running, God is going to speak to you about things. You're going to spend some time with God as you're running and exercising and spending time outdoors right now during this pandemic that we have. Amen. So God, I thank you for that. And I cannot wait to hear of these people that you touched through these words of knowledge. And then also, I want to give you an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus. You know, you're listening to this, you're watching this for a reason. Maybe it's because you're curious about what's going on. Maybe it's because God is drawing you closer to him during this time right now, this season of life. Maybe it's because you once walked with Jesus and you fell away and now you want to get back. And specifically, I think that what's keeping you from coming back to Jesus is that you feel like you need to have it all together. Well, none of us are together. That's something we looked at last Sunday. I think we're going to kind of dive into it a little bit next Sunday with a person from the Bible. God doesn't pick perfect people because none of us are perfect. So if you're waiting to get your life together to come to Jesus, do it now. He would rather you come to him now, and we'll figure this out together, is what Jesus is saying. So you know, on a Sunday morning with people here, we would say, hey, you know, show me where you're at. Raise your hand so we can pray for you. But I'm just going to pray this prayer of faith with you, this prayer of salvation is what we call it. And if you prayed this prayer with me, would you put this in the comment section? We have people that are ready to pray for you, or message us on Facebook. We also have information that we'll mail to you to help you with this newfound faith. So here we go. Just repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for getting my attention right now. And I want to ask you into my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to wipe the slate clean and let's start fresh, new today. And I thank you, Jesus, for walking life out with me for this day forward. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I believe that you can help me in my life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, thank you so much. Let us know. Message us. Do us something in the comment sections. Because I just want to know whose lives are being touched right now, and we will continue to pray for you and send you information if you want. So we're going to do our offering right now, and then we're going to end with a couple songs of worship. And again, at the end of this service, we will have some the different options that you can give here at the church, your tithes and your offerings and special offerings and all of that. But let's just pray for our offering. So, Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for the tithes and the offerings that are given to this church, Lord God. All the various means, online, bill pay, mailing in checks. I just want you to know how grateful we are. Jesus, I want you to know how thankful we are that we have a church family that understands the spiritual aspect of giving. And I want to ask, Lord God, that you would bless that. Bless the tithes and the offerings that are given to this church, Lord God. And I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would help us at Vineyard Community Church use that money to the best of our ability to furthering your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. So we're gonna end with a couple songs of worship. Thank you for joining us today. We love you. God bless you. Enjoy your worship. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.
All things have passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life again. You cause your Son to shine on darkest nights. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. The one our hearts adore, the hopeless have found their hope, the orphans now have a home, all that was lost has found its place in you. You lift our weary heads. You make us strong instead. You took these rags and made us beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore, our hearts adore, our hearts adore, our hearts adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Thank you. are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Oh, come.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Leave behind.
Your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Oh, come.
Oh, come to altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
What a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
What a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh. Precious. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Bless your name, God. In closing, I'd love it if everyone would just raise their hands, please, and we'll close with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thank you, guys. Have a great rest of your week. We love you so much. See ya.